Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Oddcast Movies, Music, Gaming. Here with me, Danny G.
So, yo, to the SLG.
That's it. And that's me, yo. And today we are going to be talking about the ultra hip white boys of rap, The Offspring. Let's have a listen.
Give it to me, baby.
Don't ruin it. Spoilers for the best, for the hit. So if people don't know, we're doing a hit and a shit episode today. That's where we take a song that we like and a song we hate about specific bands and just have a quick chat around them, I guess. Today's one is about The Offspring. And Dan, Offspring, tell me your relationship with these guys.
Well, we were just about the right age for when they hit the big time in the mid to late 90s. I didn't come across them at their kind of like smash peak. It was after that. And I'm pretty sure it was because of you. Somebody gave me a copy of Ixnay on the Hombre. Yeah, it was you. You gave it to me on tape. And I remember around the same time you gave me Green Day Insomniac as well. A secondhand copy from the library on CD. But up until then, I hadn't taken an interest in that kind of like punk, pop punk, American, whatever you want to call it, Californian punk, I don't know, that sound. Yeah. So that was kind of my introduction to that whole thing. And I really liked Ixnay on the Hombre. Mm. And that was it. And then we were primed because between that, I think like maybe like a year later was when they exploded with Americana.
Yep.
And things...
They certainly did.
I was on board at that point, but I quickly kind of came around and things started really tanking for them quite fast. And if at that point you had any doubts about them, I think they were confirmed with the release of Original Prankster.
Yeah. I mean, you've kind of summed it up. So it's... I can't remember specifically... how I got into Offspring. I'm pretty sure it was due to the company I kept at that age. And that's where Smash was kind of bandied about. But for some reason, I always remember the cover of Smash and thinking two things. One, I was thinking, is it a metal album? And two, I remember, this is going way back, there was a song, and I can't remember what it was, and it's not, everyone's going to go, oh, it's Chemical Brothers, but that was way later. There was a song in the early 90s, and it was something like a bunch of skeletons that were like kind of gold or whatever like this, and it was like really shitty early like CGI whatever stuff, like that kind of really shitty early 90s thing.
Yeah.
And they were like riding a bomb or something like... style. God, I forgot the name. The Kubrick film, How to Stop Worrying, like kind of like that. Yeah. But they were kind of going through a tunnel, and I, for the life of me, if someone knows what that song is, get in touch. But I remember specifically thinking, for some reason, I can go on. You look like you're better than it is.
I'm ready to blow your mind.
Go on.
It's Perfecto All Stars with "Reach Up." Papa's Got a Brand New Pig Bag.
Yes, it is. Bloody hell, Dan. That's good fucking work. It is that. It's totally that.
I had that cassette single at the time. I haven't got it.
Okay. So that was that. I don't know when that was released, but that was kind of around the same time, or whatever, like early 90s.
Yeah, 93, 94, maybe.
Yeah. So for some reason, I've got these two things fucking mixed in my head. And I kind of remember thinking, like, what is it, something to do with that?
Yeah.
Obviously it wasn't. Now, bear in mind, I'm only like whatever, like 10 or something.
Yeah.
at this time. And then so it wasn't until like 97 when Ixnay came out that I kind of was like, okay, and I kind of got properly into them. And I think, like, do you remember when Sutton Library used to sit there and listen to CDs?
Yeah.
I think that's how I listened to Smash first. I think that was with a girl.
Really?
Maybe I'm mistaken. No, I'm mistaken. That happened much later. Yeah, that happened much later. Well, I say much later, 3 years later or something like that. Not like crazy, like 20 years.
You remembered that wonderful experience of sitting on your own in Sutton Library listening to Smash on headphones. And 3 years later, you met a girl and were like, hey, if you want to see a good time, I know an amazing library where we can go and listen to this album, Smash.
Actually, I'd be able to tell you when it was, because it was one of the, I think it was my first date. And
you went to Sutton Library? Here we go.
No, okay, just hold on. Wait a second. I really didn't expect to be talking about this for a start. I really didn't. Her name was Jane, right? And she was from Wimbledon.
Right.
And we went to see William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann one, which was in 96. And then
UCI in Sutton.
Yes. It would have been, UCI in Sutton. And then afterwards, I think we got something to eat. I couldn't remember. And basically we had some time to kill before she had to get a train back. And I went to Sutton and was taken to the library to listen to songs, listen to music. which sounds weird now, but in my head it was like, oh yeah, cool, we both have music,
yeah,
let's go listen to some music.
That's pretty cool.
In hindsight, it was probably the most geekiest, stupidest, most unsexy thing ever. I think she missed her train and my mum had to drive her back to Wimbledon or something. something weird happened. I don't remember, but I don't think we went out again after that. Because I don't think, you know, I wasn't the best looking kid either, which probably wouldn't have helped. But we did go to see that. Anyway, I believe we also listened to Smash, which would make sense because that was 96 and it was on the cinema in 96. So it would have been just afterwards. And then, so somehow, I don't know if it's through her or if I was already listening to it, but I do vaguely remember that. And then Ixnay and the Unbreak came out. Then I remember another library story, Cheam Library. There was someone who worked at Cheam Library who was basically this like I don't know, she must be like early 20s, like punk rocker thing. And to me, she was punk rock, but basically I think she probably just had like a bit of purple in her hair and wore like a t-shirt with the band's name or something on it and whatever. And she, I remember she was always like going, oh, you should check out blah, blah, blah. You should check out blah, blah, blah. I say like always, like it wasn't there like all the time. And she worked there constantly. But she was like, oh yeah, great. This new, I love this new Offspring album. It's great. I was like, okay, yeah, cool. But I was already going to get it out, but this is just as she was like checking it out. Anyway, Ixnan Hombre, it was great. I loved it. And to me, that's still my favourite album. But
you just bought it again, haven't you?
I did just buy it again on bloody 12-inch gold with a really cool cover, actually.
Yeah. Looks really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And I liked that whole, to be pretty honest, that whole like Mexican thing, yeah. And they kind of use those, that kind of, well, especially like a Mexican scale. I think that's another word for it, but I can't remember. In the music, it's got that kind of vibe to it, which I really liked.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the whole artwork and everything is great. But what I didn't realise is that that was out in 97, and then within a year, they'd moved on to all the stuff of Americana in 98, which is insane, because to me that was like five years difference or something, and it was just a year.
Yeah, mad, isn't it?
And it's like they've gone from how they could do Ixnay and then start doing Pretty Fly for a White Guy is beyond me. But going back and listening to some of this stuff, Americana, apart from those few songs, whatever, which we'll come on to, I didn't mind some of the other tracks. And actually going forward, I felt like, as I was listening to like some of their newer, later stuff, I'm like, okay, well, they've gone in that kind of pop punk direction. They've lost that kind of edge, but whatever, fine. It's not terrible, apart from the ones which are the big pop ones, which is what's weird. It's like, so anyway, this was, I don't know. This was really weird, actually, delving into like their catalogue and the old stuff and the stuff that we liked.
I think they must have got in that like mindset of looking for the single. Because Ixnay was the first one where they were getting out of their Epitaph contract.
Mm.
So actually in Europe, it was released by... No, sorry, in the States and most places, it was released by Columbia.
Yeah.
And in Europe, it was a joint release with Epitaph Europe. So then Americana is the first one where it's pure Columbia, major label, probably like, you know, we need a few singles.
Right.
And that's when they really, you know, then you get this real like novelty shit of like Pretty Fly, Why Don't You Get a Job? And then it just gets worse. And then I stop listening to the albums and then all I know are these really shitty singles.
Yeah.
I remember like in that period waiting for that new album, and I remember my friend Jamie being all like, oh, there's a new Offspring song coming out soon, and it's called Pretty Fly. And I remember thinking, you know, like Bush had a single, Greedy Fly.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, Pretty Fly? Like, I just assumed it's going to be about a fly, or it's going to be about death or something. And then this fucking Pretty Fly for a White Guy lands. I don't know, what the is this? But it was mad because I bought the single Gone Away.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting, listening to the UK Top 40 on the radio, waiting to see where Gone Away got in the chart, which was important at that time when you picked your band and you were like, I don't want them to be like everyone a feeding frenzy, but I want to see them successful and get a bit of acknowledgement.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's not in the 40 to 30. Maybe it's going to be, you know, it's got into the top 30. No. Top 20, no. I was like, oh, it couldn't have gone top 10, Gone Away. And it's like down to like three, and I'm like, I don't think it's charted. But maybe it has. And I'm like, oh my God, it's not number one, is it? It couldn't be number one. No, it's not. It hasn't charted. But then literally 1 year later, Pretty Fly, their next single, got to number one.
Yeah, for a while as well.
It's number one here in the UK. That is mad.
Yeah. It was insane for many reasons. One, because it's a fucking terrible song for a start. But they just changed their whole thing. They went from like, you know, they start from like that kind of LA skater punk thing to, yeah, as you said, it just becomes like a novelty comedy thing. It takes that whole, because this was during the time as well when it was like, God, when you think about it, like Green Day were kind of doing it a bit, but they're probably not the best thing. But like, you had no effects, but they were doing it in like a different way, like a more like self-aware way that wasn't so, they weren't trying to hit the mainstream, but you kind of had like the Vans Warped Tour and all that stuff. And you had a lot of these kind of California punk skate bands that suddenly like just went full hog into like this certain like cliche of like big bright colors,
yeah,
and like baggy shorts and chains and whatever. And yeah, like, and they, and the Offspring just absorbed it.
Yeah.
Like bleached blonde hair, whatever, and just like, I don't know, chains around your like weird leather collars, or I don't know, like all this kind of weird stuff.
Like also like Day Glow music videos.
Yeah.
Like really clean. And they're always like filmed in big, these like big houses with like big gardens and pool parties and things.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. They've gone into like, they've made something like that's frat, supposed to be a bit rebellious. Yeah, and they've made it like clean, family-friendly stuff. And that's what Offspring did. And that was weird because I remember like when we saw the artwork for Americana, it was like, I like this artwork. This is cool because it's like...
It's Frank weird. Kozak.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Right.
Okay. Frank Kozak. And I was a big fan of Frank Kozak even then.
Right. Okay.
And I took my Pretty Fly single and I went and met him in London, got him to sign it.
Oh, did you? That's interesting. Bit of background.
Yeah.
But yeah, and yeah, it's just so weird when Pretty Fly came out. Like, and this is, everyone would be like, well, it's a great song or whatever. Like, it's like, it wasn't a great song if you were into Offspring. If you'd gone, if you've followed Offspring up to that point and you hear this, it is like someone's just slapped you in the face with like a wet fish. It's like, you just can't get your head over it. It's just weird. And then, yeah, when they go into like Conspiracy of One, like by that point, I'd given up. When I literally remember seeing the Conspiracy of One cover, which is supposed to be like that kind of graffiti thing with the skull and flames. And
yeah.
Like, oh, they're doing this now. Like, that's it. So,
yeah.
Done. None of that. Yeah. They're still like super popular, which I find strange and really weird.
Yeah, I don't know how popular they are though, because I don't know if you saw this, but. Where we live here, me and Sam, there's a little town on the outskirts of London, the sort of London suburbs called Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And Dexter Holland and Noodles are going to be going to the nightclub there.
Oh, it's that, not, what's the name of that?
I think it's called like Liquid or something.
New Noise or whatever. Oh, okay.
One of those kind of clubs with like sticky carpets and like 16-year-olds drinking vodka Red Bull. And they're going to do like an audience with Dexter and Noodles in Kingston. You can come along. They're going to do a little acoustic set and then you can have a Q&A with them.
That is so weird.
They've passed into like proper like middle age.
Jesus. Weird tours of like little known British towns.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. All right. Well, good luck to them. Fuck.
Do you want to go? You can ask them some questions.
I would go. Like, if I lived more locally now, I would probably go to something like that. But they would just play all the stuff that we hate. Let's be honest. They're not going to do any of the good stuff. So, anyway, that is, I guess that's kind of our little brief history with Offspring. Dan, why don't you lay us up with what do you want to go with, your hit or your shit?
Let's remind ourselves of why we like the band with my hit.
Right. What is it?
It's one that you might not know. I tried to dig a little deeper here. This is from their album Ignition. Dirty Magic. Told you about when I went and saw David Copperfield, and he shat himself.
No, you're not talking about the magician.
I'm not talking about the fictional character from the Charles Dickens novel.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
Yeah, the magician, the magician. There's only two David Copperfields.
Who did we go to school with? David?
Coppin.
Oh, yeah.
Where the hell did that come from?
Good memory. That's what I thought you were talking about. The thing is, you've unlocked my brain with like a deep vault of memories. Now David Coppin is kind of, he's kind of my memory banks.
One thing you need to know about David Coppin, listeners, is he was the one who introduced me to Rage Against the Machine.
Is he?
And from that point, Nirvana. And from there forth, all of my musical tastes grew. Because I just remember him, he was quite a naughty boy. Anyway, he was naughty, so he had to sit on his own a lot, on a table, with his back to the rest of the class. And I just remember one of the teachers saying, telling him off, basically. And he turned around and he went, "Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me." And we're like 10 years old.
So I enjoyed this song. What were you saying before? What were you saying? What was this got to do with David Copperfield?
Oh, because he had a trouser accident, and the result was a showering of dirty magic.
Oh my god! All that.
that was the payoff line.
I enjoyed that. I mean, I was thinking, like, when it got to the end, I was like, okay, cool. You could make this. You could do one of your classic 2-3 minute ones. It doesn't have to be a 4 minute song for the sake of it. But I liked that little guitar line. Felt quite dark.
Yeah.
And I liked that. Felt quite 80s. I guess it was kind of 80s. Like, you know, it's 92. So, like, you know, just coming out of the 80s, I suppose.
Yeah. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
To me, the sound of it, yeah, 1992, it doesn't sound 92. It sounds like it's got that kind of, and like, this is the whole album actually, Ignition. It's got this kind of like dark, smoky, mysterious vibe. Mm. And it sounds like, yeah, like an 80s kind of, more kind of like alternative hard rock album. And I think so at some point, and that's kind of the case with a lot of early Epitaph stuff. It was a bit more like metally sounding.
Mm.
At some point, basically before they did Smash, Epitaph seemed to hit on like a slightly new formula. I don't know if they had like one producer that did everything. I know there's one guy whose name I keep seeing popping up. But I think at that point it was like Brett Gurewitz from Bad Religion. He's like the Epitaph label head. But I don't know, something happened and they seemed to like get that kind of like more mid-90s pop punk sound that Smash definitely like exhibits a lot more. Mm. And so in some ways, because I was listening to this one and Smash and Ixnay recently, and I thought Ixnay and Smash sound very much of their time.
Mm.
Whereas Ignition sounds, even in 92, it didn't sound of its time. So actually, in a way, it's kind of like aged a little better for me. And I was really, really enjoying Ignition. I was like, this is just like a good kind of rock album.
Mm. I remember at the time, like, not actually thinking it was the same Offspring. Because also, like, their first album has got like a weird, like Night of the Living Dead type cover or something.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, it can't be the same band. And I remember, like, you would always see in HMV... in the sales, like Offspring Ignition for like £2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if it's that bad, I'm not going to buy it. Like if it's coming in that cheap, but I think as I was saying to you earlier, like I have got it. But yeah, I've just, well, God knows where it is now, but like, yeah, I think I might've listened to it like once and then been like, yeah, this isn't my Offspring kind of thing. Like this isn't what I was expecting. But yeah, with more mature ears, I guess it would actually, it's probably worth going back and having a listen. It's definitely better than some of the fucking other stuff. But
yeah, I really think it is worth, yeah, just coming at it from a different angle. Did you recognize that riff at all?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, I was pretending that it was bloody Fleetwood Mac or something. But no, I didn't. Yeah, the chain, yeah. No, was I supposed to? Is it from something?
Well, I think they did this a lot. They seem to recycle a few bits and bobs. But I think it's the same riff as Genocide from Smash. Okay. I've never seen anyone say that, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Well, let's have a listen to, let's have a quick listen to Genocide on Smash and see what you think.
Could you hear it?
Kind of. I kind of see what you're talking about, but yeah, it's kind of jumping around some of those notes, I think. But yeah, I don't know if it's I wouldn't call it like a recycled thing, maybe. But yeah, I do kind of know what you mean. Yeah, just listening to Genocide, actually, it makes me forget how great Smash is. It's an album.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I really like it.
What's your hit then?
So, yeah, moving on to my hit. It's probably not going to be any surprise that it's on Ixnay. This was actually really difficult because there's a lot of real Offspring songs that I like. But for me, this was like their... It's borderline cheese, but I quite like the big, poppy, epic kind of nature of it. And I like the fact that it's quite melancholy as well. Because basically I was kind of thinking, I like stuff like Meaning of Life or whatever. I like Motor, for instance, and all that stuff. And then, you know, All I Want is obviously like the classic, but you can't really say that these days because it's just been on absolutely everything. And if you remember, like the Changelings, we used to cover, we covered a couple of Offspring, but I remember we always did All I Want. But I'm going to choose Amazed.
Yes.
So you're excited about that one?
Yeah. That, do you know what? As you were building to it and as you were naming other songs, just in my head, I was like paring it down to what it could be. And I was like, oh, it's going to be that. But I'd forgotten the name of the song. So when you said it, I was like, yes, that is a great choice, Sam. Because when I listened to Ixnay like a month ago, that really sprang out at me. It's different to all the other songs on that album, and actually it fits in a bit more. Like, it would fit on Ignition, I think, a bit more. It's got, like, it hasn't got some of the, like, peppy, zingy, kind of pop-punky vibe that some of Ixnay's got, and there's no, like, silliness. It's just, like, a big, epic, kind of, like, dark-sounding rock song.
Yeah.
And, I love it.
Yeah, it's weird because it feels like a more mature sound, even though, as you said, it's kind of... I can kind of see what you're saying about it being more Ignition-y. But I remember when I heard this album, and it's got, like, you've got Gone Away or whatever, and you've got all that stuff as well on it, which are quite big songs that you think, I could easily see it on some kind of chart or whatever. But with Amaze specifically, it is a big song. I like the lyrics and the idea of, like, because that's kind of thing with all these, I mean, like, I don't know, but especially with Ixnay, I guess, is that there's a kind of, like, hopelessness, like, down on your luck, even on, like, the fun songs or whatever. It's all just about trying to, like, make something better out of your shit life. Do you know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Amazed kind of fits into that quite nicely. And I was thinking that it was, like, by getting more popular and whatever, they'd be going down more this road of, like, kind of bigger songs, not so much, like, you know, slowing it down a little bit and trying to maybe do something a bit more serious.
Yeah.
And I thought I wanted them to go in this kind of direction. That guitar riff is great. It's just, and I'm just like, it's great songwriting. And that's why I'm like, why aren't they doing more like this? It's weird. Like, they're capable of it.
Yeah.
Why don't they do, and I'm not saying it has to all be like that or whatever, but it's like, that is a good, strong fucking, that's like, I could see like a version of that of some sort or whatever being in like the top 10 during the 90s with, like,
yeah,
you know, Bryan Adams sitting next to Bryan Adams or something like that. I don't know. But
yeah, I can hear it because it's kind of just like a sort of like timeless kind of rock song that any rock act would have a hit with.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I really love that song and it's great. And it's, as you said, like when you listen to Ixnay, that's one of the ones that really, because it's the second to last track on the album. And so it's like, you know, what a lot of these problems that these albums have as well is that they kind of like lose their luster or whatever as you kind of get through it. But by having this as track 13 of 14, it's like, you know, it's a good little, like, pick-me-up right at the end. That's great. I love it. It's brilliant. That's my hit.
Such a great choice. And Sam, we've had a lovely time until now, reminiscing and listening to these great songs.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid we do now have to delve into the depths.
Yeah. Let's go with your one first. Where is it?
Straight down the toilet. We've just mentioned it, actually. Gone Away, I'm afraid to say, Sam. Not my favourite Offspring song, but a serviceable Offspring song. However, they seem to have zoned in on it. I think over the years, maybe it's become a sort of like a concert favourite for them to sit down. Dexter can go to the piano and provide a moving and stirring solo piece. So they have re-recorded it for their brand new album, which is called Let the Bad Times Roll. This is the new 2021 version of Gone Away.
We've got a new album coming out and I'm going to take a song from whatever 30 years ago, whatever it is, and do it on a piano like it's the fucking X Factor or something. And really, it's like saying, like, I was really good. I really like that song. I was really good when I was younger. So yeah, we don't just want it. I still want it as a song, but let's do it on a piano. And then maybe we might be able to get something out of it from the pop people or whatever, because it's got quite a nice melody that works for like a kind of sad piano-y song. So yeah. Just write a fucking new one, you dickhead. Why have you got to fuck up the old stuff?
Well, I think that's what's so sad is that it suggests that they believe this song has a degree of reverence that it actually doesn't have. And I think that's very self-indulgent and quite embarrassing.
Yeah.
The fact that they're like, this song is so emotional and powerful that we can strip it back and just have this moving, stirring piano ballad with this like raw naked vocal all about. And actually, and then it just exposes the lyrics for being, you know, very actually adolescent.
Yeah.
And the other thing, it's not actually a raw vocal, because this thing, I was like, have they programmed an AI to sound like Dexter Holland?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if that was actually him singing or not. It's a bit weird.
Well, I think it is, because I listened to a few other songs on this album, and this is just what his voice sounds like now. Yeah. It's like auto-tuned to fuck.
Right.
It sounds so bad.
Shame. I mean, he's got like, his voice is high. Like how he can hit those notes in your old age is quite the task.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the song Gone Away. It's not, I felt like it was quite try hard on Ixnay, but I still quite like it. But it feels like they're trying to, again, kind of same a bit as with Maze, like they're trying to do something there. So I don't mind it. I do quite like it, but it's, yeah, just having this piano version is just fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. Such a strange thing to do, and it's like no reason. And also, it's not like Gone Away. It's not got like a different name. Do you know what I mean? Or has it? And I don't know. It doesn't say like Gone Away Piano Mix or something like that. It's just like, because that's what I was thinking when I first saw that track listing. I was like, that's weird. They've got another song called Gone Away. Like, what, they've just deleted the old song. I was like, it's the same song, but they've made it worse.
And they could have called it out. Gone Away Again.
Yeah. Come back.
One of the things I like most about the original Gone Away is the like drum intro. Like it's like heavy tom. Drum is like, yeah. Gone Away. It begins like, I've forgotten now. Now that you did that, you put me off.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, yeah.
And it's all on like the floor tom, and it's just very Tommy.
Yeah.
So obviously that's, you know, been eradicated from this new version.
Shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. It's awful.
Do you remember, Sam, because on the subject of Gone Away, like I said, I bought the single, CD single when it came out.
Mm.
And back in the day, they did this thing, first day cover stamp. Do you remember that?
Do I remember that? I don't think I do.
I thought that was so cool. And like, you know, last few years, all like Record Store Day and all this like go out to your record store. I'm surprised they don't bring a gimmick like that back. It was really, really cool. They would send like a metal stamp to certain independent record shops, including our favourite shop, Hot Rocks in Sutton.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you went on the first day and bought something on the first day of release, they would put the sleeve in this metal stamp and they had a little hammer and like knock the stamp into the sleeve, so it's like embossed, and it says like it's got a skull, and it says, I think it was recycled. They must have done, must have produced it for Ixnay on the Hombre, and then just sent them out again for Gone Away. But it says like first day cover, it's really cool. And they did it for a few releases around that time, 96, 97, 98.
Right,
yeah,
it's been Napster, it's probably starting to come in, do everything.
They're like, how are we going to resist the rising tide of digital downloads? Mm. How about the first day cover stamp?
Yeah, people love that. Let's fuck up their sleeves. They'll enjoy it. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I think there were some real choices to have with like the shit stuff. I got to admit though, listening to Americana again, and I remember like, didn't we say like Walla Walla is actually a straight rip-off song off another band? I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, it's the Vandals.
Yeah, it's like not even...
Too Much Drama.
That's right, yeah, it's exactly the same song.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But I did, when I went back through Americana, I was like, okay, actually there are some songs here which I remember listening to and thinking, okay, there's something here. But it just gets blown out of the water with all the awful stuff. But some of the later songs I was listening to, I was like, it's not as bad as what I thought it might be.
Just that
fucking original gangster, Pretty Fly and all that stuff just tainted it for life. And I have to say that my real shit is going to be Pretty Fly for a White Guy. I know it's like, I know it's on the nose, but for me, it was what made me hate. I felt like I had been like molested or something like that. Like not to send people into like a trigger spiral or something like that. But I really felt like, I was like, what is happening? It's like watching, I don't know how to put it. It's like finding out that Santa isn't real. Yeah. Like you kind of bought into this thing. You're like, what are they doing? What are they doing? And when you see that video, and what also kind of made it worse is that it got really popular. So there would be people at my school going like, oh yeah, Offspring, you like Offspring, don't you? No, I don't. I did. We're not the same now. Like
you're not you.
Yeah, exactly. You're not suddenly like fucking cool because you like Offspring because you liked that Pretty Fly song. But like when I heard that, and it's like people, and I was just like, I am just living on another world. Like I'm not part of this society. I don't understand what's happening. But if you like it and you think it's fun and whatever, great. It's essentially a children's song. It's a fucking children's comedy song. It's a cartoon.
It's a novelty song.
It's a fucking novelty song. Yeah. And it's so weird.
Stecken, stab und Augen.
Yeah. What is going on? Jesus. And yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what to say, really.
What I'm dying to know is, have you picked the album version or the single edit?
Oh, fucking hell. I didn't even listen to it.
I just remember they're different. I can't remember how. I think there's something significantly different about them, something in the mix, like a different sound or something.
Well, I'm going to play a little snippet of it, and who knows what version that's going to be. Either way, it's going to be some turd leaking down your ears. Let's have a listen.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
So there's a couple of things going on here. One is that it's not as if they haven't done novelty stuff before. They like got like, don't pick it up.
I was about to say, what's creeping in on Ixnay?
Yeah. And it's not like they haven't done that before. And if this hadn't got so popular, if I hadn't seen the video, I would have thought it was more of a parody of like that kind of jokey song that...
Yeah, could be Weird Al.
Exactly. But it's not. They leaned massively into it and just trying to like be objective to it as much as possible. But as soon as I hear that, give it to me, baby. I'm just like, oh my God. And then it's got that little like breakdown at the end. But that just stuff like that little, it's like, oh my God, it's like a fucking horrible TV show theme. And had I had a bigger aspirations for the Offspring, I would have thought, as you said, it's like a novelty song, which is a novelty song, but it's in like, I feel like they would be more self-aware of it and just be like, it's just some shit song. Like, we don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not like that. But instead they're like, yeah, we're like that. We're big and we're fun because we got really popular all of a sudden or something.
Yeah.
And that's what made me like...
They lent into it.
Yeah, massively. And like, that's what made me hate it. Hate it even more. I don't know. It's just weird. Like all the little sound effects and all trying to be like, but that's the thing, like the whole point of it, and the video is a bit like this as well, is that it's like a white guy who thinks he's black and trying to be in that like culture or whatever, and he just can't do it. And I quite like that idea, but I don't know. Like, for me, it's like a shitty, stupid B-side kind of song. It's not like the big single and people getting into it for the people liking it for the wrong reasons or something. I don't know how else to say it. It's weird. Basically, it took something that I thought was being taken seriously, as in a serious band with serious things to say or whatever, even though it's a bit stupid, as you said, like amateur in terms of like it's just teenage rebelliousness or whatever, and they've just done something really weird. I don't know.
Sad.
Yeah, it's a bit sad.
Feel sad for you.
A turning point. Yeah, you should feel sad for me because it was a sad position to be in. To be like, oh, getting the new Offspring album. Can't wait for, you know, the new Offspring stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is
I didn't realise this hit you so hard at the time. I thought you liked it.
It was on, bear in mind, like, it was on MTV constant. It was on everything constantly. It was on, it was on the radio all the time. People, it was in the fucking clubs and bars that you start to go to at that age. Like, you know, whatever, we were like 15, 16. Like, it's just on all the time. And you've got all these, like, you've got everyone, give it, have it, like, just going around. I'm just like, what is happening? What is happening?
Brutal.
Bring me back. Why aren't they singing Amazed?
So listening to it then, I remembered that album version goes, hey, hey, do that brand new thing.
Oh, right.
And the single version goes, come on and do that brand new thing.
That is the...
I think that's even worse. Difference. That is even worse. A few other strange little things. I remember Mook, my friend Mook at school.
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
He thought the lyric was, the world needs a one-eyed pizza.
Oh, the world needs a one-eyed pizza. Right.
And that's about all I remember, actually.
Okay, all right.
I remember I went and saw The Offspring, though, in 1999, because they did this, like, secret gig at the, where did they do it? On the Garage.
Okay.
Highbury Garage. So a really small venue, because earlier in the year they played at Brixton Academy.
Right.
And one guy at school managed to get, like, 12 tickets.
Jesus.
And they were really cheap. It was like £3. So they did this like really cool, we're just going to do it for the fans. I think he was like a member of, he'd signed up for something like fan club or something. So
right.
I always remember that. It was like a really cool gig. And I think they played Top of the Pops or something.
Okay.
Early in the evening.
Bands would do that.
So they were in London. Yeah. Did Top of the Pops and then came and played the Garage. Yeah. So it's just, that was a really cool time for me because 99. So I was like 17, 16, 17. And a big group of us went up. It was Mark's birthday and I gave him a rubber chicken for his birthday. Because he said he'd always wanted a rubber chicken. So then you've got a bunch of drunk 17-year-olds in the garage with the Offspring playing. And bloody, you know, it's tiny. And we're all like crowd surfing and ending up on the stage. And Mark's like, Mark ends up dancing around.
This.
Ends up dancing around with the rubber chicken and it ends up impaled on Noodle's mic stand. And it was great because they referenced it when they reviewed it in Kerrang. They said something like, in a moment more surreal than an episode of Monty Python's Flying Circus, one boy gets up on stage with a rubber chicken.
I think so, I remember you telling me about that. Must have been around that time.
Yeah, it's really so funny.
Weird. Yeah, but now you can go re-experience that at in Kingston.
Oh, that'd be so funny. That'd be so. Just jump up. It's probably in, you know, like a big auditorium.
Yeah.
Just like, try and scrabble up the side of the stage.
Yeah.
With this rubber chicken. Oh man, probably be arrested, taken for assessment.
Assessment. Well, there we go. That's our hits and shits for Offspring. That's quite a walk down memory lane as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame what's happened. But I don't know. Maybe some people are still enjoying what they're releasing.
I think they're. I think they're dumb. I think After Ixnay went downhill from there. Shame. But I enjoyed Ixnay, and I still listen to it, and as you said, got it, bought it again. So still giving the Offspring money, still paying their, you know, train fare to Kingston. Right, well, that's it, guys. Any final words, Dan?
Just give it to me, baby.
Nope. All right, bye, everyone. See ya.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram at anewwinter, Twitter at anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.